Yeah.
To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens wide her doors with a welcome from Jesus Christ, the ally of his enemies, the defender of the guilty, the justifier of the inexcusable, the friend of sinners. Welcome, and in this spirit let us welcome and greet one another. If you look in your bulletin, there's a couple of announcements that we'll look at. On May the 12th, there'll be a church-wide cleaning at 9 a.m., so weeds, everything, I don't know what all we're doing. Secondly, if you're interested in studying the experience in God with Pastor Pulnick, he'll be beginning that study on May 6th. They'll be for 8 weeks. If you're interested, just come talk to Pastor Pulnick, I guess. Is that the best way, Pastor Pulnick? Just come talk to you? Yes. Okay, and so those are the two announcements. And so with those announcements, let's stand as we say the Apostles' Creed together. The Apostles' Creed is what we confess, what we believe as a local church. So please stand with me. You can look in your bulletin or behind me on the slide. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into Hades. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now we're going to do our scripture reading. Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 1. I will read the odd verse, and the congregation will read the even verse, and then for verse 6 we'll read together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Let's say together, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Okay, we're going to move into a time of prayer, of adoration and offering. Our offering box is in the back of the sanctuary if you'd like to give offerings there. Let us bow in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you just that you are the great, awesome, holy God. We thank you for this privilege to come and worship you.
We thank you for this time to hear your word, to read your word, and we pray that your word will bear fruit in our lives. Pray that you give us ears to hear your word, respond in faith and obedience to you. And we pray that you bless the offerings that we bring before you in faith. In your mighty precious name we do pray. Amen.
Good morning. Let's go ahead and sing How Great Thou Art together.
How great thou art,
and soothe my soul, my Savior God to thee. And how great thou art, how great thou art. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being a good God. We can sing this first song because of what you've done on the cross, what you've done in Jesus' resurrection. And Father, I just pray for today that you would help us see that, just how it intersects with our lives, that there is confidence in this present life now, there's confidence in the future, and there's freedom from the past, whatever wrongs, whatever guilt we have, Lord, it's all on the cross. And Father, we thank you for that gift through Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This one's, we've sung it before on Fridays. It doesn't show itself very often on Sundays. So if you know it, you guys can sing more loudly. But I think as we sang the first song, How Great Thou Art, I think this song kind of expands upon that point a little bit more about why is God so great? We see that in the cross. We see that in the resurrection. We also see that there's confidence in it. So for all of us here, I hope that there's confidence in the cross. There's confidence in the gospel itself. So whether you're striving for career, maybe you're searching for jobs, maybe you're searching for direction, maybe it's just a frustration with current circumstances, craziness of parenthood or craziness of college and high school stuff, that there's confidence in the gospel itself. So we're going to sing You've Won Me together.
broken every chain with love and mercy. You triumph over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise.
Jesus,
you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You triumph over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise.
We're going to consider a prayer of Daniel's as he led the people of Israel in a confession. So we're going to say a couple of verses in Daniel chapter 9. Okay? So let's say together in verse 4. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules.
O God, belongs mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him and not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in His laws, which He has set for us from His servants and prophets. God, incline Your ear and hear. Open Your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by Your name. For we do not present our pleas before You because of our righteousness, but because of Your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. May we just take a moment just to reflect in our hearts. Maybe there's ways in which, like the people of Israel, which we just really haven't listened or paid attention to God's Word. They've fallen on deaf ears. And we need God's forgiveness. We need God to act in our lives, to change our hearts. So just bow quietly before the Lord and just humble confession, anything that you need to quietly confess before the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we come before You today recognizing that You are the great, awesome, holy, righteous, mighty God. But Lord, we do acknowledge that we have failed to listen to You. We have failed to love You. We have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have failed to listen to Your Word. Lord, we beseech You for Your mercy. We beseech You for Your compassion. We beseech You for Your forgiveness, and we're thankful that we're confident of Your forgiveness because of Christ and His work on the cross. We thank You for Your great grace to us, and pray that You would strengthen us, that You would forgive us our sins and empower us to walk before You in faith and obedience. In Your mighty, precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This Sunday, we're taking a break from our series if we've been going through the Gospel of Luke. And this Sunday, taking a break and invited Pastor Polnick to preach the Word to us today. So I'm invite Pastor Polnick to come forward.
It's a privilege once again to come and share the Word of God with you today. I want to speak today on the subject of in times like these. And corresponding to that is our scripture that I want to read in the very beginning. And I'll ask you to stand once again as we read the scripture from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, as we read the Word of God. And then you can be seated as we begin with the Word of God today as it speaks to us in times like these. As you read this, as I read this passage and you read the description of this passage, you will see many similarities of things that are taking place in our time. Paul begins by saying, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They're the kind of whom worm their way into the homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth." You can be seated. In our times, we are seeing many, many changes. In fact, we see a population change, as I read recently. Today's population of our world is probably 7.6 billion. And if this grows continuous to 2020, it will be approximately 12 billion people. We're seeing changes made. We're seeing changes in our society. We're seeing changes in the electronics and all the social changes and all the technological changes that are being made in our day. Now, many of these changes are beneficial, but many are a hindrance. Especially the social changes that we're seeing in our society are not all beneficial. Some are, but many of them are not. But yet, we're seeing many changes. And as we read this passage, we see a description of the changes that are being made in our day. Peterson, in his transliteration of this passage in what was called the Message, and I'm going to read from that, is a more of a word that we would use today describing things in a layman's description. It says, "Don't be naive. There are different times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, and this is a business term, dog-eat-dog, unbelieving, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated like a windbag, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes they're animals." Then he says, "Stay clear of these people." Now what Paul is saying in this passage to Timothy, he's saying, after I am gone, I'm warning you of things that are going to happen. Terrible times will come. And he said, mark this, watch out, pay close attention, and get ready. Now this sounds like our times as we read this passage. We read the things happening in our day. We read the newspaper. It sounds like we're reading the morning newspaper as we read of certain of the terrible things that are happening in our day. In 1988, an evangelical philosopher and theologian named Carl Henry made a prediction in his book, The Twilight of the Great Civilization. And here's what he said. I'm going to read it. And he said, as America progressively loses its Judeo-Christian heritage, paganism would grow bolder. What we saw in the last half of the 20th century was benign humanism. But he predicted by the start of the 21st century, we would have a situation not unlike the first century, when the Christian faith was confronted by raw paganism. And raw paganism is like humanism today. His work has come true. As we read this prediction, his words have come true. So as we think about this, and we think about this passage, let's just pause a moment and consider the times in which we live. In order to do that, we go back into this passage of Scripture that I just read, and we discover that it was written in the first century. And during the first century, we find that this nation of Israel and the nation that Jesus, in which he lived, was controlled by the Roman Empire. And we can read in history about the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. And we can read and discover the reason that the Roman Empire fell. It was not invaded by some outward force. But the Roman Empire would rise to heights and then crumble and fall and decay and rot out from within. We find that the Roman Empire in its power began about 63 BC when Pompey the general set out to conquer the known world. And by the time of Jesus Christ, we find that the Roman Empire had flourished. during that time of Christ. And then it was rising, and all the way to 234 AD, it became a great empire, extending to the west as far as Great Britain, to the north to Germany. And to the east it went as far as Asia, including the Middle East and old Babylon. And then to the south it included northern Africa. It was a great empire. And it was the empire that had conquered the world and ruled the world during the time of Jesus Christ. And so what we see within these scripture verses, we see a reflection of what was taking place and would take place within the Roman Empire. And when we find what would take place, we see the reason for the fall of the Roman Empire as a nation. So we ask the question, what about the nation at times like these? And we get back to the Roman Empire, and we find the reason for the fall. Some of the economic decay, for instance, we find that at one time it says there were 44,000 apartments in the city of Rome. And these apartments were occupied by two different classes of people. There were people that could afford the apartments that lived on the lower levels, but those that were poor lived on the upper levels. But those that could not afford the upper levels lived within the streets. There were many, many homeless people living in Rome at that time. Inflation was prevalent. We find that there was the high cost of the military at that time. And also there was a constant wave of crime within the streets. There was political corruption during that time. There's always corruption during the Caesars. In fact, it got to the point that only the wealthy could rule. They could buy the elections and rule. And in fact, it became so corrupt that it said it's 37 different emperors from the time of 136 AD and 286 AD. 37 different emperors ruled during that time, and 32 of them were assassinated. We find that also there was a decline in morals during the city of Rome. For instance, there were 32,000 prostitutes in Rome at one time. And crime was violent in the streets. It was dangerous to go out in the streets. Now I want to stop a moment and think about that, what I just said and described. And we realize that if we read our newspapers today, as we look at the television station today about our nation, we see many, many of these things taking place. Many of these warnings are taking place, just as Carl Henry predicted. Many of these things are taking place in the beginning of the 21st century in our society. If we compare those things, we see that we have economic problems today. We find that the rich are getting richer. We find that our country is being ruled by the wealthy. Just the same things. And we have violence in the streets and crime. We find that one of the problems within the nation of Israel was their family life. And we find that all of these things taking place, and we ask ourselves, what about the family in times like these? We find that the standards of living today are not according to the standards of the Ten Commandments, but the standards of the cultural laws of secular humanism. We're not living by the Ten Commandments any longer. We're being ruled by the cultural laws. And we ask this question, as pointed out here, at one point it says they were disobedient to parents. Now that points out that there was a problem in the family life. There was a problem in the family life in the city of Rome. There was rampant child abuse. And we find today, as you read the newspapers, there are many times horror stories about what happens to children as they're tortured, as they're put to death, and as they're abused. In our society, here in Salt Lake City, we read those accounts in our newspapers, and we find that there are many broken marriages. And we find that there are those that have what they call open marriage. I was reading online the other day and discovered that many prominent people that believe in open marriage. Open marriage is a marriage that has no commitment.
Open marriage is a marriage that does not take the marriage vows very seriously. Do not count in being faithful to each other, but have just an open marriage. We also have what we have, common law marriages, that where people live together without being married, without having a marriage ceremony. These are things that are happening in our society today. In fact, it says in Rome, there was such child abuse and children to be abused so badly. They said, one writer said that baby skeletons by the cartload could be taken out of the bottom of the Tiber River. When they did not want to have their children anymore, they just threw them in the river. Child abuse was rampant. It's so rampant in our society today. And we have in our day what I call alternative marriage, as well as open marriage. When God instituted marriage, He meant marriage should be in a man and a woman. Marriage should be between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We find that those are things that are taking place, and according to the cultural laws of our society, are legal. According to God's laws, they're contrary to God's will. So what about the church? This is another question. This is where we get down here where we live. What about the church in times like these? Someone described the church today as being confused. We find that it says in the Bible here, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, religion in Rome was polytheistic. In fact, it was paganism was practiced all over the Roman Empire. Now, the church today in America can be described in many ways. Some churches can describe an idea of pluralism. Pluralism is the idea that there are many ways, there are many religions, and so that proves that there are many roads to heaven. But all of these religions are leading to heaven. But there are just many roads there. You can just choose any religion you want, and either one of them will get you to heaven. We call that pluralism. That means that one religion is just as good as another. Another description of today is the type of gospel being preached in our churches. We have what we call the prosperity gospel. We also have the social gospel. Now, the social gospel emphasizes social practices. Totally. Now, I'm not against social practice, and I don't think the Bible is against social practice. The Bible tells us that we should go out and help those that are handicapped and those that are without food and those without clothing. That's a part of sharing the full gospel. But that's just part of it. We find that the social gospel depends totally on the humanistic secular view of the gospel. It has the philosophy, let's go out and put a coat on every man. Well, that's good. That put clothing on people that need clothing. But Christianity today is saying, let's put a new man in every coat. That's what the gospel proclaims. We should be concerned about the full gospel. And not just the social gospel, as it's being preached in many places. Also, there's this concept of tolerance. We should be tolerant of all religions. Now, basically, if we carry tolerance to the farthest extent, we'll finally say that one religion is just as good as another, and we can say that Islam is just as good as Christianity, Buddhism is just as good as Christianity, any religion we want to, all are just as good as one another. The Bible does not teach tolerance in that respect. In fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is saying there are two roads, and only one of those roads leads to eternal life. The other leads to destruction. You see, Jesus was not tolerant in his respect to Christianity. Nor should we. We should not compromise what we believe as Christians. We should not always be tolerant about others. We should not always hear the gospel and believe it like the pluralistic society and philosophy teaches today. So here we are, and I think that we read to stop here just a moment. hear what I've said and what the Bible says concerning what will be in these times, it sounds very discouraging, doesn't it? It sounds like it might be hopeless. But this also brings us to the final point I want to make today, and this is the most important point I want us to listen to. And let's consider the message of the Bible in times like these. Now, first of all, we need to listen to the Word of God, the message of the Bible. When Jesus told the parable of the sowers, He was talking about going and sowing seed. The seed representing sowing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. And then He concluded that parable by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." Let us listen today to the Word of God. In fact, in the letters to the seven churches, Jesus closed out each of these letters by saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We need to listen to the message of the Word of God as it speaks to us as a church. We need to hear the Word of God. The Word of God speaks to us as the Spirit speaks to our hearts. And through the Word of God, and it says that the Word of God, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's made up of two words, which means that the Spirit of God is breathing out the message of God to us. Let us listen to it. Let us hear it. Let the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts today. And let us take heed to what it says. Now, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, is saying that we need today to turn back to God. I want to read the description of our nation and what it ought to be. It said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who choose for His inheritance." Also in Proverbs, it says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." Our nation should listen today. And I think that we've seen that we are living within a divided nation, politically. We're living in a nation where there is racial prejudice. It stands out today. We're divided in our political leanings. But I think that we ought to realize today that we need to turn back to God as a nation. We find that there's a scripture in the Bible that I think speaks as clearly as any passage that you could find what we need to do as a nation today. It was a part of the prayer of Solomon when he was speaking and God was speaking to him, and God spoke to him and said to Solomon, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land." We need to turn back to God. We need to humble ourselves before God and pray to Him, confessing our sins to Him as we pray, and turn in repentance from the ways that we're going. That's the only hope we have today as a nation, is to turn back to God. Also, in the book of Micah, God tells us what we ought to be doing. He says, "I'll show you, O man, what is good, and what does God require of you: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Once again, He's saying we need to humble ourselves before God, walk before God in an humble way, and pray and seek His face, and turn from our ways and turn back to God. That's our hope. The hope we have. That's the message of the Bible today in our time. And then as a church and as Christians, we need to proclaim the Word and the message of truth. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them with truth. My word is truth." This is the word of truth. God speaks the truth. You know, there are those today in our society that believe that there are no absolutes. No absolutes. Now, if there are no absolutes, how could we tell the difference between right and wrong? There's no way. But we do have an absolute. This is absolutely the Word of God. We can find that there is the absolute. God's commandments are absolute. They're not the 10 suggestions. They're the 10 commandments. We're to live by these. These are to guide our lives. We're living the boundaries of the teachings of the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of God. And we need to proclaim the Word of God without hesitation. Some people act as if they're ashamed of the Word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. He wasn't ashamed of the truth. He proclaimed the truth. We ought to proclaim the truth today. We need to preach the full gospel. And I mentioned we can help people socially, but we are not preaching the full gospel until we are preaching the message of repentance and belief and faith in God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven. He said, repent and believe the gospel. He also said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. There's the message. When Peter preached at Pentecost, he preached the message of repentance. To turn back to God. Turn away from sin and turn to God by faith. Those two are inseparable. Repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's only one Savior. And that's Jesus Christ. There's salvation and no other but Jesus Christ. That's Acts 4:12. Tells us that Jesus is the only way to salvation. He's the only Savior that we have today. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said very plainly, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to be saved, and that's when it says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, that's a part of the many gospels today, that we're saved by works. By what we can earn. That's the humanistic secular gospel. Self-help. But we're not saved by self-help. We're saved only by the grace of God. God is the only Savior. And then there are those who would say, let us not preach the cross. The cross is too bloody. It's too gruesome. Why preach a gruesome message? Well, Paul said the preaching of the cross is to some foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, that's the only message we're preached, to preach the cross. Cross of Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in a grave. And He arose again on the third day to live. That's the message of the Bible. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message that we should unashamedly proclaim today. That's the times like these. Our people need to hear the Word of God. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. That's very important. We need to accept it as the Word of God. And as we read it, let us read it as if God were speaking to us through His Word, through the Scriptures we have. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. You know, when Paul continued this message in Timothy, to Timothy, he goes on to say this. You, however, and he's speaking to Timothy very personally, see, you, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith and patience and love, endurance and persecutions and sufferings, all kinds that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Now, when he mentioned Lystra here, this is where Timothy had lived, in Lystra. This is where Timothy met Paul, was in Lystra. He knew that Paul was being persecuted. In fact, he was left for dead there. And we find that Timothy knew all about this. And he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then he says to Timothy again, but you, Timothy, continue to what you have learned and have come to be convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Now, who did he learn it from? He learned it from Paul, but he also learned it from his mother and his grandmother, who taught him, and he said, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy was taught by his mother and grandmother from infancy the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the Word of God, speaking to us through Scripture, giving us and equipping us to live our lives as Christians, to face temptation, to face persecution, to face every obstacle that might come our way. We can find that God, through His Scriptures, will help us know the way. And then the one important thing that we need to preach today is the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. When Peter stood there at Pentecost and preached, he told them that this man you crucified, God has raised him and made him both Lord and Christ. And Paul also taught that at the very mention of the name Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. Peter declared, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas said, you are both Lord and God. That's the message. We should never apologize for preaching the truth that the Bible is the Word of God, that salvation is by grace through faith only, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those are messages that we need to proclaim. Those are the messages that are being preached from the Word of God. And when we live in a society where sometimes the church is confused, and where there's pluralism, where there's the practice of the social gospel and prosperity gospel, we need to clearly proclaim the full gospel, not leaving out repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And that Jesus is the only hope we have, the only way we have. Now, a number of years ago in the hymn books, there was a song entitled, In Times Like These. Now we'll read a portion of this song, and I think it speaks to us today. It said, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And then the second stanza goes like this. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And then he closes it, and he wants to be very inclusive for us today. In times like these, we have a Savior. In times like these, we have an anchor. I'm very sure. We're very sure our anchor holds and grips a solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. We're very sure. We're very sure this anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Yes, in times like these, we do need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And in times like these, we need to read and proclaim the Word of God, the Bible. But I think most of all, we can say, in times like these, we need Jesus. He's the one. He's our anchor. He's our fortress. He gives us the power to live. He gives us the courage to withstand the hindrances of our day and the temptations that come every day. And as I've read this description earlier, it describes the times that Paul says might be the last days. And as I said, we read our morning newspaper, and we read this passage and we think that we're reading the morning newspaper. We see the very things that are described here taking place in the 21st century, as was predicted. They are taking place. But we need to be prepared. Paul is saying be prepared. We need to listen to that first psalm. Do not listen to the scoffers. Do not take time to listen to them, but turn to Christ and listen to His Word. Be faithful. Stand firm in our faith and belief in what we believe. We need to be willing to proclaim it, but not only proclaim it, to live by it as we face our times like these. In times like these, we need a Savior. We need Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you warned us in your word about these times. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us a prescription of how to live in times like these. And Lord, we pray that we might live by faith and trust in you day by day. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for the leaders of our nation. We pray, Lord, that they'll turn to you, and we pray that our nation will turn back to God. And we pray, Lord, that we'll see changes, that our nation might be turning back. Lord, it's our prayer that only hope we have is through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for Him. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide us as we study your Word, as we practice living the Christian life in our daily life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand together.
morning, my children asked me as we were driving around 215, and it seems like every time we drive in 215 around 6200 South, that exit right there in Cottonwood Heights, my children like to ask me about idols and like idolatry and how many people believe in Jesus. And they asked me, "Dad, do a lot of people believe in Jesus?" And I sought to try to answer that question. And they talk about, oh, do people worship money? People worship mountains. I think because the mountains are right there at 6200 South. People worship the sun. People worship the stars. And they talk about how, they ask about how many people worship different idols and questions that I don't know the answer to in many ways. And as my children were asking me about idolatry and people believing different things, in this passage Pastor Pullman preached about, we see a lot of sins, kind of a gross list of sins. But as I look at this passage, I can relate very much to this passage. Can you relate to any of these things? Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, unholy, ungrateful, slanderous. And I think as I read this list, I think about my need for Christ, my need for the gospel, that I am ungrateful, that I am unholy, that I am, maybe you're disobedient to your parents this morning. There's a lot that this passage relates to, and that we need Christ. We need the gospel. And so, just what we want to do now is to sing praise. We want to praise God, who even though we are ungrateful, unholy, unloving, disobedient, lovers of self, lovers of money, worship of other things, that God, through Christ, has made us righteous through the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's sing the doxology as we praise God, who has made us righteous in His sight.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. It's Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
go forward. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Go in His grace.